Our gospel reading comes from the book of Mark, chapter 4, beginning with verse 26, and it reads, "He also said, the kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise and night and day, and the seeds would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come. He also said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which is sown upon the ground. It's the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet, when it's sown, it grows and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can nest in its shade." The use of many parables. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them. As they were able to hear it, he did not speak to them except in parables, and he explained everything in private to his disciples. The gospel of the Lord. Praise be to God. I come to you today with a sermon that celebrates the day that we are in, and it asks a simple question: how do you make a father? Pray with me, if you will. Loving God, we thank you once again for this opportunity to come before you. And we ask now, Lord, your blessing upon this word, that it may inspire our hearts and minds and give us guidance, direction, and food for thought. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. By now, those of you who have had private conversations with me, or may have friended me on Facebook, know that I enjoy planting and growing things. Now, just to set the stage clear, I would never consider myself a farmer by any stretch of the imagination. I guess I'm more of a hobbyist, if you will, when it comes to growing stuff. So what does that mean? Well, it means that growing things for me, it's always hit or miss. And I'll tell you why. Here's my process. I get a handful of seeds. I throw them in a pot of soil. I splash some water on them. And then I wait to see what happens. Sometimes stuff grows, sometimes it doesn't. I wait to see what happens, and then I repeat steps 1 through 4 the next year. There's been years when I look out on my deck and all we have are pots and pots of weeds. Then there are days, years, when we look out into our kitchen and we actually have a pineapple growing, or maybe some tomatoes. Yes, I grew a pineapple in my kitchen in Newark, New Jersey. Go figure. But for me, it's all a hobby. For me, it's a lot of fun. My non-scientific process is, as I said before, sometimes it works, most time it doesn't. But the reason why I don't get upset about it, the reason why I'm okay with it, is because I just don't take it very seriously. Maybe if I did, maybe there's some sort of a green thumb blood flowing through my veins that if I took it just a little seriously, I actually might be able to grow enough fruits and vegetables to keep Anna and I fed for a couple of weeks in the summer. Or maybe 2 or 3, who knows? But with all of that having been said, This is going to sound like a bit of a strange segue into our message for today, but I can say this. I thank God that He does not choose men to be fathers in this same flippant, haphazard way. Beloved people of God, God chooses men, people, persons, to very intentionally earn and wear the esteemed, honored title of father. It's not just given out haphazardly. Though many of us may take it for granted that the role of father is something that just happens, fathers don't just spring up like plants when I throw seeds in a pot. Fathers are specifically and intentionally made by God and God alone. God blesses them and endows them with special gifts and qualities that are needed for them to carry that title with honor and distinction. Allow me to explain this process. Looking back at our reading from 1 Samuel, using that as an example, what we find is the people of Israel at a very interesting time in their lives. They're at a point now where they have looked out amongst all the other peoples and tribes around them, and they decided they wanted to be just like them. And so they went to God and said, "We want a king." God told them, "That's not a good idea. Just simply worship me and allow me to guide you and lead you." But they insisted, "We want a king, we want a king." So after their begging and pleading and even so much as demanding, God finally gave them what they wanted. God gave them a man named Saul to be their king. And here's how God selected Saul to be that particular person at that particular time in their life and history. God knew that they were looking for someone who fit the description of being a king. So what he did was he looked out amongst the people, and what he found was someone who was described in the scripture as a handsome young man. And not only was he just a handsome young man, it says that there was not a man among the people of Israel who was more handsome than him. And then he had one more attribute that made him stand out amongst all the other people. It says that he stood head and shoulders above everyone else. And so they took this tall, handsome, good-looking man of stature and said, "You will be the king of the people of Israel." And since they were only looking at what was on the outside, the people of Israel were pleased. All they wanted was somebody who looked the part. They didn't take into consideration his heart. They didn't take into consideration his moral character. All they wanted was someone who they could hold up and say, "You see that good-looking guy over there? That's our king. Our king is taller and better looking than your king." Well, beloved people of God, unfortunately, all the things that God had warned them about came to light. And little by little, as Saul began to do things that caused the people of Israel to fall into problems and issues and worries and concerns, and he proved to not be the most noble person that should have had that title. Knowing all of this, God decided that it was time to name a replacement. Saul had it in mind that he would take his two sons and make them the kings. But God knew that his sons were also not fit to lead the people of Israel. So God did the right thing. He selected someone not based on appearance, not based on stature, not based on popularity, but based on what was going on in his heart. And with that, God sent the prophet Samuel, and he said, "Go out find the person who I have named to be the king of Israel and bless them. And he did that. He found a young shepherd boy named David who was working out in his father's fields. And he blessed him in front of everyone. He anointed him with oil so that everyone would know that this person with a good heart and good moral character and all the true attributes of what it means to be a king has been identified by God, chosen by God, blessed by God, and now called into service to live into that. With all of that said, beloved people of God, on this day, a day that has been set aside for us to celebrate those persons who carry this title of Father, I encourage us to take a moment and let's acknowledge those who have earned this right to carry the title. They carry this title with honor and distinction, not because they participated in bringing a child into the world, not because they are simply a man who somehow managed to be a part of a family but is not connected with it. They've earned that title for the role that they play in the lives of the children that God has brought into their lives. And I say it that way because what we find is a lot of fathers who have no biological children but have been fathers and grandfathers to many, many children in their lives. And not to sell them short, there have been quite a few mothers who have raised children in that single household setting, and they had to play the role of both mother and father. And so it's with that that we celebrate those who have lived into that title, those who have earned that title. And I'd like us to celebrate fathers through a poem that I found, which is entitled Fathers Are Wonderful People, written by a woman named Helen Steiner Rice. And that poem today will be read by our own Alana Malanga. And when she comes, as she reads it, just listen to the words.
Fathers are wonderful people, too little understood, and we do not sing their praises as often as we should. For somehow father seems to be the man who pays the bills, while mother binds up little hurts and nurses all our ills. And father struggles daily to live up to his image as protector and provider and hero of the scrimmage. And perhaps that is the reason we sometimes get the notion that fathers are not subject to the thing we call emotion. But if you look inside dad's heart where no one else can see, you'll find he's sentimental and as soft as he can be. But he's so very busy every day in the grueling race of life, he leaves the sentimental stuff to his partner and his wife. But fathers are just wonderful in a million different ways, and they merit loving compliments and accolades of praise. For the only reason dad aspires to fortune and success is to make the family proud of him and to bring them happiness. And like our Heavenly Father, he's a guardian and a guide, someone that we can count on to be always on our side.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. As you heard the words of that poem, as you have heard our message for today, we love people of God. If you haven't figured it out by now, the answer to the title of our sermon, How Do You Make a Father? The answer is simply this. All we as human beings are capable of doing is giving birth to males, but it is God who takes that person and makes him a father. And so once again, we give God thanks and praise for blessing us with those fathers and father figures in our lives. And we thank each and every one of them, both our fathers who are with us. If they are still amongst the living, reach out to them and give them your thanks and love. And if they are in heaven, just simply mention their name in your prayers and just thank them for all that they have done in your life. To all the fathers we have, I wish you, each and every one, a happy and blessed Father's Day. And I thank all of you for being a part of our lives. Amen. Let's close this sermon with an applause for the fathers. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you so much for the fathers and all those you bring into our lives who help to guide us in such a special way. Lord, allow their love to continue within us as we share it from next generation to the generations to come. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.